went to see my physician. He said, you're definitely ill. Then said the nurse, I've seen worse, so the doctor just gave me a pill. Take one of those three times a day, don't ever stop until you're nearly dead or almost. Better keep out of the reach of children. The thing is, there might be some side effects. You mean there probably will. Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, 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 on top of that. And then he showed me his bill. I popped another pill.
Welcome to When Your Health Matters. Your host is Dr. Richard Huntoon of Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located right here in the Hudson Valley in Newburgh. Dr. Huntoon has been practicing alternative health, utilizing chiropractic and many other alternative health techniques for the past 27 years to support you when your health matters. It's his intention to offer practical advice every week for you to consider and apply in your own life to make your life and the lives of your family and friends healthier and happier. And when you have questions, he'll give you resources to get your health-related questions answered from Doc Rick himself or another expert from the show. Being empowered to make positive health choices before a problem arises is the best way to approach health. And he promises to have information for you every week that will allow you to become proactive and empowered to take control of your health and your life. Doc Rick is grateful you're tuned in today, and your journey will begin after our first commercial break from our generous sponsor.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
I'm here with Bruce Bagan of B&B Pool and Spa Center. We're talking about making home pools and spas green.
As always, it's great speaking with you, Jimmy.
You are the exclusive pool builder that offers the IntelliPool and IntelliSpa.
Jimmy, green is about more than just energy. It's about safety and cleanliness as well.
What makes up an Intelli system?
As far as what's green, it includes a programmable IntelliFlow pump with its built-in shutoff feature that meets New York and New Jersey's requirements for new pools. We use heat pumps that reduce heating costs. We offer solar heating as well. For those people who wish to reduce or eliminate chemicals in the pool, we can install a system that makes their water virtually chemical-free.
Thanks for informing our listeners, Bruce. If you need to contact a pool professional about your pool, call B&B Pool and Spa Center, 787 Chestnut Ridge Road in Chestnut Ridge, and on the web at bbpoolandspa.com, or call 800-594-2137. That's bbpoolandspa.com, 800-594-2137.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Welcome to this week's show, When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We're located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park. That is in Pooler, Georgia. We are in Suite 404 of Building 400. If you want to get a hold of me, the best way to get a hold of me would be to call this little contraption that's in front of me right now called my cell phone. It's always with me, and for the most part, I'm the one that answers the phone. The phone number for that is area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. If you want to have a conversation, if you want to get an answer, if you want to understand why, that's the best way to get that answer for yourself. You could email me. The email is docrick@spineboy.com. That's D-O-C-R-I-C-K @spineboy.com. Either way, it would be my pleasure to help you to better understanding what the concerns that you have regarding your health. And we want you to be healthy. It is your birthright. It is your God-given birthright. And unfortunately, we don't know how to exercise that right as a country. We currently rank 59th in the world as far as our health goes as a country. We comprise 4.5% of the world's population, yet we consume just under 92% of the world's medication. Are we over-medicated? Absolutely. Are we healthier as a result of that? Absolutely not. There's 58 other countries in this world that are healthier than we are here in the U.S., in spite of the fact that we have more doctors, more hospitals, more technology, more access, more medication. And the only thing that we have more of than any other country is health issues and obesity. And obesity seems to be getting bigger, but it's nice because the rest of the world has decided to participate in the affliction that we have called obesity, because now other nations are doing what we do and they're becoming obese as well. And I personally think that that is morally, ethically, and personally reprehensible. And I would like to help you, the listener, understand what it will take for you to actually exercise your right to be healthy. And the gentleman that helps me do that every week, his name is Mark Sabin. He's in studio with me. He's the man behind the scenes who puts the shows together, comes up with the topics, develops the questions in terms of trying to understand where we want to go with the show and how we can give you the most amount of understanding so that you can empower yourself. The show is called When Your Health Matters, and it's called that for a reason, because it's up to you when your health matters. If you want to continue taking medications for your high blood pressure, continue taking medication for your high cholesterol, continue taking medication for your diabetes, if you want to continue having dramatically life-affecting and life-robbing procedures done, it's certainly within your right to do that. That's how you exercise your right to be healthy. But if you would like to get off that treadmill of treatment and want to get out of that realm altogether and just simply be healthy, my thought would be to give me a call. And so I'm going to see where we're going with today's show, because Mark's going to let me know by the course of asking me questions. But first, we want to say welcome, Mark, and welcome to When Your Health Matters.
Well, thank you, Doc Rick. Once again, being here to be able to talk about these issues and everything that you just said in the intro is so important to understand, because it really is a basic human right in order to be healthy. And it's one that we have sort of been steered away from by what's happening with the food that we eat and by the drugs and prescription and the medications that we're receiving. And it really is important for people to understand that there is another way if they want to take advantage of it.
Oh, absolutely. And, like I said in the intro, God gave us this basic human right to be healthy, assuming that we exercise it properly. And if we do, we never need to have a health issue. And that's certainly my wish for you and the rest of our society, my brothers and sisters that are certainly the ones that are out there struggling and leading a reactive life to their health issues as opposed to a proactive life and never having issues.
And it's so important to understand that, it's like if you cut yourself, your body will heal itself. It's not like anything is going to do anything to heal you except for what nature, what God does for you. It's so you can help it, you can assist it, and that's really kind of what this show is about being able to assist people to help that natural process of healing as opposed to interfering with the symptoms that you experience.
Absolutely.
So, this is an obvious question, but is it helping people be healthy that what propels you in your practice?
Well, it is my mission is to help as many people as possible understand the benefits of being proactive with their health and to help them develop a lifestyle that will keep them healthy once we help them recover their health. And for those who come to me without health issues, they never seem to develop health issues because we just keep them exercising their right to be healthy.
So is this something that anybody could do?
Everybody has the same opportunity, Mark. It's just a question of what you do with the opportunity that you have. Some people use it to their benefit. Some people use it to their detriment. And lots of people use it, some percentage in between the two.
So, if you're feeling healthy, what would you ever have to do in order to prevent getting seriously ill?
Maintain a balanced life with proper sleep, proper food, proper water, proper air, proper exercise, and balanced thoughts, and just living in harmony within yourself and within your environment.
And what you recommend, you have a different way of approaching health. You don't wait for something to happen before you begin to treat your health. You actually take what you call a proactive approach, and that's really radically different. How is it that you do that?
Well, it's focused on health and staying in that state. So much of our society right now is about immediate gratification without understanding what it takes to simply be and to remain healthy. And the consequences of that mentality is to grow health issues because we know what not, what we don't want to do. Mm-hmm. And it's basically our society right now, our quote, healthcare system, which is really a sickness care system, is focused on treating end-stage disease and not helping people appreciate how to avoid all disease. And my perspective is I want to teach people how to exercise their right to be healthy and to avoid all health issues.
And I know that you have, in your own life, in your own personal life, you have done an enormous amount to be healthy. And since I've known you, I've never seen you really sick. Over the years that I've known you. And it seems to me that if somebody's starting from wherever they might be, say somebody comes to you that has a health issue like diabetes or high blood pressure or something, is this a process that you're going to have to approach incrementally? You're not going to be able to turn around and all of a sudden have that car going 100 miles an hour and have it go the opposite direction instantaneously. It's going to be a process, right?
Well, always and in all ways, Mark, learning what works and what does not work, applying what works to a higher degree of efficiency every day and never worrying about being sick or getting sick is the methodology that I encourage people to do. So depending upon what state a person is in when they come to see me, I meet them at that state. You know, somebody that has stage 4 cancer, I have to talk to them differently than somebody who has stage 1 cancer, or somebody who just had a biopsy because the doctor says that they have a precancerous lesion of sorts. So depending upon what stage or where within a disease process a person is, each one is going to be treated and approached differently. Somebody's going to need crisis intervention versus somebody's going to need more education and then maintenance intervention as opposed to the crisis intervention.
So, I mean, you're seeing all kinds of people with all kinds of different variations of whether where they are in the health spectrum,
right,
and you're able to deal with all those people.
Yes.
So I mean, because I know that your principal practice, that you're licensed as a chiropractor, people don't necessarily think of a chiropractor as somebody that you would go to for all your health concerns.
Well, that's because people don't understand what chiropractic is as an art and as a science and as a methodology to, you know, maintain the highest level of function possible. It should be the primary form of care that people do to avoid ever getting sick, to avoid ever needing medication, to avoid ever having a health issue, because the whole premise of chiropractic is to remove any and all nerve interference that blocks how the brain regulates the body and how the body communicates back to the brain. And I think we did a show last week or maybe 2 weeks ago or whatever on what chiropractic is and the type of chiropractic that I practice. And it's important for the listener to understand that if you have proper communication related to how your cell phone accesses the internet, accesses email, accesses your phone book and its ability to communicate and pay bills and receive payments and all of those kinds of things, if that's working at 100% efficiency, you love your cell phone, don't you?
Sure.
But if you go to an area within this country, which surprises me because other countries have absolutely 100% coverage with no drop calls ever, but we have that here in this country. If you go to a rural area where they don't have enough, quote, cell towers in order to maintain the integrity of the functioning, it gets pretty frustrating when you, I don't have any bars or I can't get any service or my call got dropped or, you know, I can't complete the call kind of thing. That's quite frustrating. Well, think of that along the same lines in terms of what goes on in your body. If your body can't communicate properly, if it can't function based upon that communication, then you're not going to feel well, and it's going to be very, very upsetting to the person whose body isn't doing that.
And the other thing about the way that a chiropractor like yourself practices is it's a hands-on profession. I mean, because you're not using medication, you're actually treating the person who is there in front of you, not looking at a computer screen and typing and barely looking up at the patient who comes to see you.
Right. That's so totally foreign to me because why? I'm a very hands-on, face-to-face, eye-to-eye, knee-to-knee kind of person with every single one of my patients. It's like, you know what? I'm going to get involved in your life. Why? Because it's your life that's creating the reason for why you're in my office. So I want to make sure that I understand what your life is about so that I can help you address the imbalances that you have so that you never have to have imbalances. It's your life. You can do your life any way you want. I just want to support you so that you get the most out of your life and aren't spending the whole time trying to keep symptoms at bay and trying to manage whatever afflictions or ailments or disease processes that you have.
Well, if someone comes to see you, how do you prioritize a way to fit healthy living into their schedule?
Well, you make it your first priority and let everything else come after that. Put your mask on first before helping anyone else. Make it about caring for self in everything that you do, and the rest of society may do the same thing. Then we can all get along, since we'll all be whole, healed, and holy. And it's just like, you know, like I just alluded to, you're on a plane, and there's a sudden change in cabin pressure, and those masks fall out of the ceiling. You're instructed to make sure you put your mask on first
before helping anyone else.
If you even need to help anybody else. Because if everybody puts their mask on first, then who needs to have their help with their mask being put on?
Right.
Nobody, because everybody put their mask on first. Okay. But then there are situations in our society where somebody isn't capable. Well, good. Take care of you. Make sure you're 100% before you give any percentage to somebody else. And that's the biggest problem that we have in relationship is there's usually an imbalance between the give and take within a relationship, which causes stress and strain and eventually aggravation and upset.
That's so true. Now, you know, if you're a basically healthy person, you can go a long time before any symptoms show up. And I think you say you've had to have lost 60% of normal function before a symptom appears?
Yes, I do say that, Mark. But to be honest with you, science has actually proven that you need to lose greater than 60% of normal functional communication between your brain and a part of your body in order for that part of your body to exhibit a symptom. Science proved this. I simply apply the knowledge. And so if you wait until you have lost greater than 60% of normal function by having a symptom, and then you take a masking chemical medicine to cover up that symptom, how do you actually think you're helping your circumstances?
You're actually going further down the road of ill health.
You are going further down the road. And the, quote, sickness care / health care system that we employ in this country is predicated on making sure that you fit into that mold, because that's A, the only way they can get paid, and B, the only way they can stay in business. So there's a impetus, there's a focus, there's a desire to make sure that people spend their whole life managing symptoms with the treadmill of treatment instead of fixing problems so that you never actually get on the treadmill.
Well, it seems to me that in that realm, that in order to even perceive that you have a problem, the doctors will oftentimes wait until you've got that symptom. Because if you come into the doctor and say, I just have this vague feeling, I don't feel quite right, just my energy is not what it used to be, or some complaint that's vague and you can't necessarily identify, and you go to the doctor with that, let's say, well, we'll keep an eye on that situation, and if it gets worse, come back and see me. Or they'll say, well, you know, we can't see anything really wrong with you, the test results come out okay, you know, there's nothing really to treat you with at this
right.
point.
And you know what's sad, Mark?
Hmm.
That mentality that we as a nation has accepted. We accept the fact that, quote, the doctor knows better than we do, and the doctor should know better because they've gone to school and they've been educated on these specific subjects, okay? But what they weren't ever educated on was functional problems. They were treated, they were taught how to treat dis-ease.
Right.
Dis-ease being the end stage of functional problems. So we have health. We have functional illness where you're not healthy, but you don't qualify for medical intervention. And then we have full-blown disease. Now, the doctors know they can't get paid until you have full-blown disease. So it's in their best interest, if they want to get paid, to patiently watch and wait until things get worse. Now, as a consumer, as somebody who has the problem, that should sound insane. What do you mean, wait till it gets worse? No, I'm here today to elicit your expertise so that I don't get worse, so that I don't ever have to have a problem. And what the doctor needs to say to the patient is, listen, I appreciate your wanting to do that, but I can't get paid to do anything for you until you have full-blown disease, so I really don't have any incentive, any financial incentive, to help you now, because the carrier that in covers your insurance won't pay me to treat you now. They will pay me to treat you when you have full-blown disease. So let's just watch and wait until you have full-blown disease. It's interesting. I had a patient, somebody that lives local to the Pooler area, that came into me, and I said, so who do you normally see as a doctor? Oh, I have this wonderful medical doctor who's very conservative, who doesn't like to order lots of tests, who doesn't like to prescribe lots of medicines, and this doctor is wonderful. And they say, you know what? You're doing pretty good. I don't have to do anything for you. Come back in a year. And I said, well, that's a very interesting position, and I'm glad that they positioned it that way. But truth be told, they're telling you to come back in a year because they know that there's nothing they can do for you that they're going to get paid for. So they're telling you to go away for a year with the understanding that if you keep doing what you've been doing, you're probably going to come back in a year, and there's going to be something that I can actually get paid for.
You know, I think there's even something that's more I understand all the issues around the doctors needing to get paid and what initiates that and how the insurance companies work. But I think in the training as well, that you have a different way of of dealing with people because you have the ability to interpret what's going on functionally with the person. So when something is pre-symptomatic, you can actually identify what's going on with the person, whereas the doctors who will order different kinds of tests, and even when they do order the tests, and when you look at the test results, you look at with a different set of eyes than will typically be done.
Right. When I look at somebody, if somebody's had a blood chemistry done or some level of blood panel,
mm-hmm.
I ask them, great, the doctors who ordered that test, that's one of the greatest tests that they could possibly order. It's going to give us a lot of information. If you'd like to bring that in, I'd love to go over it with you, and I'd love to tell you from a functional perspective what your numbers mean. Not that, you know, a lot of people, they get this summary. The summary says that your blood was all, your chemistry was really, really good in all these aspects. Your liver enzymes were good. Your kidney function was good. This was good. That was good. That was good. But you did have this was a little bit elevated, and this was a little bit problematic, and so we're going to want to monitor those two items for the next 6 months. So we're going to have you come back in 3 months and repeat things, and we'll have you come back 3 months after that. And it's just like, okay, so you're saying that these numbers are normal, but you don't actually give them the numbers. So how do I know that those numbers are normal? You're telling me that they're normal, but normal compared to what? Because a lot of what happens during a blood chemistry is they have these really wide ranges of what's considered normal. Because once you're outside of those ranges, now you definitely qualify for disease. I look at it from a very much more narrow band because health is a very narrow band. When things are balanced and functioning, it's in a very narrow band of function. When you start to go outside of that, you don't qualify for disease yet. Now you have what's called functional illness. So if a person has a blood chemistry, if they have blood results from anything, and it's not a black and white, it's not like it's a positive test, meaning, well, what does positive mean? Positive meaning that you have a problem. Versus a negative test, which says that you don't have a problem. Well, sometimes patients get confused over, you had a positive test. That's a good thing, right? No, in this case, it's not a good thing. Positive means that it's bad. Well, can you understand why patients get confused? Because they don't understand what the terminology means. So I encourage people, get the blood results from your doctor, bring them to me, and let me sit down and tell you what each individual fraction, each individual measurement, what each one means from a health perspective.
Not a disease
perspective. Versus from a disease perspective. Mm-hmm. If you're slightly high, it means this. If you're slightly low, it means this. If you're moderately high, it means even more. If you're moderately low, it means even more in the other direction. And it's like, okay. So it's interesting, when people bring me their blood work, their doctor said, oh, everything's good. I had a woman this morning who said to me, these are my blood results. And my doctor said, everything's good. And I said, well, how can they say everything's good when this number right here has a big L next to it? Not a little L or a small fine print L, but a big bold L. Okay. That tells me that it's really low. But your doctor didn't say anything about it. Why? Because maybe your doctor sees, I don't know, 100 patients a day, and they really don't have time to scrutinize the reports that they're getting. They just look to see if there are any flags, and if they look at the report quickly and they don't see any flags, or maybe their nurse practitioner didn't highlight it for them so that they can review it, then, yay, so doc, I'm here to get my blood results. Yeah, your blood results were fine. I know that goes on when the doctor's never actually looked at the blood results. I know that goes on. And it's like, okay, so even if your numbers were fine, please just give me the numbers so that I can sit with my functional doctor, I can sit with my Dr. Rick, and he's actually going to go over each individual measurement, and he's going to tell me what it means, and then he's going to tell me what it means in relationship to all the other measurements that are for that same system or for that same organ or what have you.
Right, because you'll look at something and one measurement over here and another measurement over there, and you'll say, when those two things are together at the same time, it means something.
Right.
It's not just that you look at, oh, well, your red blood cells are this and your white blood cells are that. You look at in relationship to each other. So it's a more complex
understanding. Right. An example would be calcium. People will get their calcium levels measured. Okay. And you want your calcium levels to be above 9.6, but you want them to be below 10.0.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if it's below 9.6, you have no idea why it's low unless you order another marker. The other marker happens to be a thing called phosphorus. Now, phosphorus should be 4.0. So in a perfect world, a perfectly healthy individual, okay, the ideal, the standard that medicine sets is calcium is at a 10 and phosphorus is at a 4. That's a 10 to 4 ratio.
Right.
Okay. So when calcium goes down to 9.6, you would expect your phosphorus also to go down so that you maintain that 10:4 ratio. Okay. Well, what if your calcium goes down to 9.2, but your phosphorus goes up to 4.1?
Your ratio is way off.
Ratio is hugely off. But the doctor wouldn't look at that because the doctor is going to let the calcium go all the way down to 8.9 before they think it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't really order phosphorus, so they wouldn't necessarily even know what phosphorus means when it's up at 10.1. Because they don't look at numbers that way. They look at numbers as black and white. It's either healthy or it's not. And if it's not, then we want to talk about medicine, not why it's not healthy and what mm-hmm. you can do to make it healthy again.
Well, this is I'm really glad to have gotten that part of the discussion because although it's very complex and almost, you know, it's challenging to follow what you're saying, but it certainly points out the difference between what you do when you look at people from the point of view of health as opposed to the point of view of disease.
Right. It's a completely different perspective, and I want the people in my life to be healthy. It's so disheartening when somebody comes into my office and they're there and they're very afraid of what's going on. Why? Because they've been given a very difficult diagnosis that's hard for them to wrap their head around. And somebody said, you probably need to go see Dr. Rick because he's going to help you understand it. You should at least talk to him before you go forward with any of the suggestions that they're giving you. Because a lot of times, once you start that medical intervention, you really can't come back from it.
Yeah,
you really can't stop it midway, and you may not survive it in order to continue to go on. So you know what? Before you kick it all off, why don't you go have a different perspective and see what you can do to restore and maintain normal function? And I'll be honest with you, there are times where it's like, you know what? Go do what the doctor wants you to do, and then come see me after you're done with that, and I'll help you recover from the negative consequences of what they're going to do. But, okay, if you have appendicitis, yes, go have your appendix removed. And then come talk to me about what you're going to do to maintain your microbiome for the rest of your life because you just took out the organ that helps you maintain your microbiome.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, this is a great, powerful discussion, Doc Rick. We need to take a short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, I want to talk to you more about the idea of proactive health and how to maintain your health.
Absolutely. And if you're out there listening and you're interested in being proactive with your own health, consider this next commercial and take me up on the offer that we have in this commercial. And we'll be right back.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
This is Dr. Richard Huntoon, your host for When Your Health Matters. If you have health concerns and would like to help them in a natural, non-drug way, I personally invite you to come to a free healthcare class held at my office every Tuesday evening at 6:30 p.m. For a complete list of topics, go to spineboy.com or call 845-561-BACK or 561-2225 to get information on your next free class, When Your Health Matters.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you're listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park. That is in Pooler, Georgia. And we're in Suite 404 of Building 400. Best way to get a hold of me is call my cell phone directly, area code 845-561-2225. Or you can email me directly at docrick@spineboy.com. And today, Mark and I have been talking about how to be proactive with your health.
Yeah, and I guess a real question that's I think important to ask is how can you help someone who is pre-symptomatic avoid ending up with a health problem that would require some kind of serious intervention?
Well, it's actually quite simple, Mark. Just simply keep them healthy and they never develop full-blown disease or any disease at that point. And the person must take ownership. They must take responsibility for their own health, which is what we at the office empower our patients to do. And that's give them the ability to control and maintain their health for themselves. And that's without medication and without surgery.
So one of the key things that you have to work with is diet, because it's what we're eating is so important to being able to maintain our health. And through our diets now, because of the amount of antibiotics being used in the farming industry and the livestock industry, we find that our food has antibiotics. Even if we're not taking medications, we're sort of getting medications secondhand.
Yes, we are, and it requires somebody to become diligent, to become aware, and to find sources and to use those sources and support the industry that's going to help produce the kinds of foods that we should be eating, not the kinds of foods that we're being given and paying an arm and a leg for, because it's all about big business and it's not really about doing the right thing. And you know, you gotta do some research. You gotta ask your neighbors. You gotta find people who are doing the right thing. You gotta go down to into Savannah and talk to Peter at Brighter Day and get a sense of the, you know, whatever the case is. Go to Polk's Market on Route 80 and talk to the people there and go in and befriend your butcher and befriend the person who's in charge of the dairy section and talk to them and find out what they know and what they understand and get a sense of, okay, well, what exactly is it that I'm being offered and versus what is it that I'm buying and what kind of effects is that going to have on me? Take advantage of a program that I offer in the office, which is called Shop with the Doc. Hire me for $25 to go grocery shopping with you, and I will go through every aisle and every item that you're interested in buying, and we'll scrutinize it and help you understand whether it's something you should be eating or not. And, well, Dr. Rick, I can't afford to eat organic. Well, good. Then let's go to the grocery store together, and I'll show you how to have the most success based upon the non-organic food that you can possibly have so that you don't get sick and don't have issues.
That's a brilliant thing. That's a great thing. Great offer. Now, what about probiotics? Would taking probiotics take care of the antibiotics that you're unwittingly getting in your diet?
Well, it's a start, and you'll need to do other things too, but probiotics is definitely a good start.
Okay, so what can a busy person do to eat better?
Make the commitment to eating better, get an education, find resources, and make it a way of life. And once you do that, say goodbye to the need for health insurance, which is why the process is so hard. Companies invest in making you do the wrong thing, and we develop health issues because of our lack of understanding. And as a result of that, everybody in the industry gets paid, and you're the effect of the choices that you're making because of where the business is driving it.
Now, there's a lot of people that are moving towards vegetarianism and veganism and these diets that where you need low carbs or gluten-free diets. Are these things a helpful way to get healthy?
Well, as far as the veganism and vegetarianism, it can be if your system is already balanced and you come from a lineage of 20 or 30 generations who have been vegetarians or vegans. It certainly can be a better way of life. And Americans born in this country will have an impossible time truly being healthy and living that lifestyle. Why, might you ask? Well, because we need an essential amino acid we cannot get from living a vegan or vegetarian lifestyle. Why? Because it's found in an animal source. It's an essential amino acid, essential meaning that your body can't make it on its own, which means that we have to get it from where it's fully, you know, functioning and doing what it's supposed to do, and that primarily is from animal-based sources. And so if you come from a lineage of meat and potatoes, and now you decide that you want to become kinder to the planet and kinder to the animals that are part of our food supply, etc., and you're going to become a vegetarian, if your system isn't set up for that, you're going to develop health problems as a result of it.
So would you have to eat meat, or would it be milk and eggs or
You'd have to have a small amount of complex proteins from an animal source that's going to give you enough methionine to help your body continue to function. And it's not a lot, okay, but going without it completely is going to lead to issues. So you're going to need a little bit. On a regular basis, and that, you know, could mean once a week or something.
Okay. Now, a lot of health problems develop over long periods of time, and so you don't recognize that they're coming on. So how do you recommend people going about changing the habits that aren't working for their health?
Well, become aware of the habits and replace it with a better habit by coming and getting proper understanding on why you do what you do and what needs to be addressed to stop the habitual patterns that create the disease. Slow and steady change with conscious awareness will always lead to successful outcomes, Mark.
Okay. Now, if you're talking about illness and you're going to the doctor, what's really happening is they're not really treating what caused the illness to happen in the first place. They're treating the symptoms, which are a consequence of the illness. Am I getting that right?
Yes, you are. I mean, realistically, medicine is there to intervene when a person has lost greater than 60% of normal functioning, which we talked about in the first section of the show. And it's like, okay, well, when medicine is going to be applicable to a particular situation, that person has to be functioning at less than 40% of normal. So, good. Now medicine is appropriate for this particular circumstance. And my perspective is why deal with the consequences of illness if you're not addressing the causal mechanism of the illness? Okay, it's like if you have a leak in the ceiling, where the ceiling tiles in your office is getting wet, and it's leaving a stain on that ceiling tile. Well, you could go replace the ceiling tile. But the next time it rains, what's going to happen?
You'll get another stain.
Now, you can continually replace those ceiling tiles. They're on sale at Home Depot. You're going to get 20 ceiling tiles for $4. That would never happen. But let's for the sake of argument here, you're going to get 20 ceiling tiles for $4, and you're just going to replace the ceiling tiles every time after it rains, once it stopped raining. Is that going to be a system that sustains itself, or are you going to have to go continually get more and more ceiling tiles over time?
Not only that, your ceiling will leak more and more.
Right. So what is it that you need to do in order to address that ceiling tile that keeps getting wet from the water?
Repair the leak.
Repair the leak. So is the leak the effect, or is the leak the cause?
The leak is definitely the cause.
Right. And when it rains, then the effect is the ceiling tile getting wet. Well, the same thing in your body. If you have high blood pressure, there's a reason why you have high blood pressure. If you have high cholesterol, there's a reason why you have high cholesterol. If you have diabetes, there's a reason why you have diabetes. And in today's society, you probably have all three. Taking three different medications to mask all three of those symptoms is never going to fix the reason why you have high blood pressure, you have high cholesterol, and you have diabetes. You have to address the cause. And in this case, that would be the leak in the roof. Mm-hmm. Not the ceiling tile, which is what the medicine's doing.
I think for a lot of people, they think, well, it's easier just to take the medications.
And I'll agree with you. It is easier to take the medications. But with the cost of today's medications, is it really easier to come up with $1,000 a month to pay for your medicine that's not fixing your problem anyway and to do that for the rest of your life?
It's a tough thing. It's a tough thing. I mean, when you sit there and you look at what's happening with people who have all these different diseases and they're not treating the causes, they're not dealing with the underlying causes, and the problems continue to get worse, and you have more medications, and you have medications to take care of the side effects of the first medication.
Right, and then it goes back to what we talked about in the introduction of the show, what I talked about in the introduction, is the fact that we as a country rank 59th in the world. There's 58 other countries, Mark, whose people are healthier, have better quality of life, and live longer than we do in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Yet we consume 92% of the world's medication.
So it leads me to ask this question, because it sounds as though a big part of this change from being reactive in terms of your health, which is our common way that we're doing it in the medical world, and being proactive, which is what we're talking about, requires a major shift in the thinking that you're doing in order to be able to deal with your health.
It does require a major shift in your thinking. You know what the shift is?
No, what's the shift?
Start thinking. Think about what you're doing. Think about, does it make sense to take this toxic chemical known to have harmful side effects that's going to require me to come back on a regular basis to monitor the negative effects of that medication? Does that make any sense at all that you want to sign up for that? Well, you would have to think about it before you say yes. Or you cannot engage your brain and just simply do what the doctor says without asking questions and suffer the consequences that they would like for you to have as a result of generating more business somewhere down the road.
It's interesting because, you know, one of the things, and you must encounter this in your practice, is that people are skeptical of anything outside the traditional medical.
Right, because the amount of programming that has gone on in our society over the last 100 years to make people think that this is good versus this is bad, and the mentality that people have. I mean, back in the 20s and 30s, there was unilateral understanding. Listen to your doctor. They know better than I do. So I'm going to listen to whatever my doctor says. And there's a whole series of senior citizens that are in their 80s and 90s, and even above that, who will blindly just listen to what their doctor says, okay? Then the next generation, which is, touching on my parents and the people that were born after my parents, their mentality is that, you know what, you just do what your parents had told you to do, which is listen to your doctor, okay? And it wasn't until my generation to where we actually started to think a little bit, not completely as a society, but just there are more and more people that are saying, you know what, this just doesn't make any sense to me. And this is both with our healthcare system, and this is, you know, a lot what goes on in traditional religious practices. You know, a lot of churches nowadays are really struggling to keep their doors open because there's generations of people who just aren't coming to church anymore. And I don't need to go off on that tangent, but it's a similar phenomenon. And it's like, okay, well, now we have children that are being born who don't respond in a normal fashion to the foods that you and I grew up on. They're gluten sensitive, they're peanut right. allergies, they have dairy sensitivities, all of these things. And it's like, okay, well, now parents are having to figure out, well, what's actually going into and how do I make my child actually be normal? So now people are motivated to understand what's going on, but they still have the same mentality that just listen to what your doctor says. And all the doctor is going to do is they're going to prescribe a medication, they're going to order expensive tests, and they're going to say that this is the standard of care and this is the treatment that you should expect to receive. And everybody just goes back to sleep and goes back to being unconscious without thinking about what's being done.
And what's important here in what we're doing and what this show is about, When Your Health Matters, is about giving people an option, giving right. people a different way to approach it.
And helping somebody change from being reactive to being responsive, or what we're calling proactive. When you're mm-hmm. proactive, you're in front of the situation, and then the situation never actually catches you. When you're reactive, it's already happened, and now you're trying to figure out, well, how do I solve this, knowing that this has already happened?
Exactly. Well, great conversation, Doc Rick. We need to take another short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, I have a few more questions I'd like to ask you about proactive health.
Absolutely. But please listen to this commercial from our generous sponsor. And as a listener, I would hope that if you're there to get an education, please come to a free class so we can give you an education. It's free.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
This is Dr. Richard Huntoon, your host for When Your Health Matters. If you have health concerns and would like to help them in a natural, non-drug way, I personally invite you to come to a free healthcare class held at my office every Tuesday evening at 6:30 p.m. For a complete list of topics, go to spineboy.com or call 845-561-BACK or 561-2225 to get information on your next free class, When Your Health Matters.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you're listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park. That is in Pooler, Georgia, where it's suite 404 in building 400. And my direct phone number is my cell phone, which is area code 845-561-2225. Or you can email me directly at docrick@spineboy.com. That's D-O-C-R-I-C-K @spineboy.com. And it would be my pleasure to help you to better understanding with how to deal with your health concerns. And today we're talking about the difference between reactive health versus proactive health. And we've covered some pretty interesting information. And Mark, I'm sure you have more questions.
Well, I do. And I think one of the questions that I think comes up for a lot of people, because there are more and more alternative healthcare practitioners out there, is how is a person supposed to determine which is the right practitioner or which is the right practice for them to seek their health solutions?
You got to go interview them. Mm-hmm. You have to go ask questions. You have to go sit. Go pay for an evaluation. Go pay for a consultation. Go sit and see if how they want to treat you makes sense to you. Mm-hmm. Don't just necessarily go in there unconsciously and say, well, this must be what is supposed to be done, because if this wasn't supposed to be done, then these people wouldn't be doing it. So this must be what needs to be done. No, you need to go in there. You need to wake up. You need to be conscious. You need to ask questions. You need to understand that your health mark is yours. It's nobody else's. The only person who's going to be in charge of making sure that it's taken care of properly is you. If the doctor says we need to cut your left arm off because you have a problem with your right foot, would you agree to that?
I don't think I would.
Yet there are people out there that would agree to it. Why? Because the doctor sounded very convincing.
That's amazing.
You know, would you allow them to stick a probe in the inside of your inner thigh, have it go all the way up into your heart, and then take a hot probe and burn the inside of your heart in an effort to make your heart maintain its normal rhythm? Would you do that?
That seems like a rather harsh way to go about that.
It is. It's called cardiac ablation, and it's done thousands of times across this country every single day.
Really?
Who came up with that?
That's amazing.
And why would anybody say yes to it?
I don't know. I mean, you trust the doctors giving you the right advice.
Right, but that just doesn't make any sense at all. Okay, I want you to go to the top of the tallest building you can find and jump off onto your head, and that will help you solve your headaches.
It would. It'd be dead, but...
Who would do that?
I mean, that would be nuts.
But that's the level of insanity that we're kind of talking about in the healthcare mm-hmm. industry. Here's a toxic chemical known to have harmful side effects. The television will lay them all out for you with some beautiful music in the background and happy people dancing around in the process. And one of those side effects could be death. And the people say, great, where do I sign up for that? Can I have that sheet of paper so I can run to the pharmacy and get that and take that diligently every single day for the rest of my life? Please, where do I get some of that?
You know, it's disturbing that that is the nature of how we are taught to deal with our health. One of the questions that I have for you before we wrap this show up today is, you know, we're talking about being healthy, but for a lot of people, they're already far down the path of disease where they have a condition, and maybe it's a condition that is not, it's a terminal condition. Do you see patients in those situations as well as healthy people or nearly healthy people?
Oh, absolutely. I get people that call me when they're at stage four of cancer, and they either the doctor says there's nothing more that can be done for them and they want them to go home and slowly pass in the privacy of their own home, which I can appreciate. But, you know, they still have a desire to live, and they still have a desire to, I don't know, see their grandkids graduate or their great-grandkids graduate or their grandkids get married or something along those lines. And mm-hmm. they have a true desire to want to live. I mean, I've asked patients that question who are in stage four of whatever. I'll ask them, so I just have a simple question for you that's probably going to create a little bit of emotion within you. Do you want to live? I've asked that question to hundreds of people over the years, and they'll break down and they'll start crying, and I'll give them tissues because I got tissues that sits right next to the chair that they're in, kind of thing. And when they're done and they've composed themselves, and I'll say, how are you doing? And they'll be like, nobody's ever asked me that question before. I said, well, what do you think about the question? They're like, you know what? It really is the right question that I should be answering right now. And I say, so do you know what your answer is? And you don't have to have an answer for me right now, but that's, you know, at some point, if you want me to help you, you're going to have to answer that question for me. And if the answer is yes, I want to live, then by all means, God's giving them another day, then I want to help them exercise their God-given right to continue to move on. And so I don't treat disease, Mark. I think we've discussed this many times.
Yes,
I don't treat disease. I treat people. I allow their body to express its highest level of health based upon what the plan for the body is and what the body has the capacity to do. I don't suppress symptoms and give them toxic chemicals that's going to create other underlying problems that they need to take for the rest of their life.
And it's such an important question. I mean, it's a tough question to ask, but obviously, to ask somebody if they want to live when they're in a stage four of a disease is probably the question that is on their mind every day, every minute of every day.
No, their question in their mind is, am I going to live?
Yeah, right, right.
They need to answer that question.
Right.
They need to decide whether, yes, I'm going to fight this and I'm going to get through this. And I would encourage people, I appreciate the concept of fighting a disease. I don't want you to fight a disease. I want you to invest in the opposite of disease, which is health.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have too much fighting going on in this world.
Yeah.
And we've learned over the millennia of time of human beings taking an eye for an eye that fighting doesn't work.
Does not work.
Okay, we need to change that mentality and the basic premise of being alive, and that means doing things that are agreeable, and we need to stop fighting. We don't need to fight disease. We need to teach how to be healthy.
Teach. It's about focusing on solutions, not focusing on the problems.
Right. Focus on the understanding of why a system does what it does, and when it's not doing what it's supposed to do, get back to helping it do what it is supposed to do, and then there are no issues.
Right. Right. Helping it be healthy. Helping a person be healthy. Helping a person
giving
do what
them
they
the
need
understanding
to
so that they can take the ownership of their own body and make it run the way that they want it to run. And that doesn't mean that you can't go experiment and try things. You know what? I want to touch a hot stove to see what that's like and then never touch a hot stove again, but at least I've lived through it. I mean, there are people out there that are thrill seekers, that are adrenaline junkies, that will do things that literally put their life in danger.
Sure.
And they get a hormonal high off of that. And it's like, okay, you got some endorphins and some enkephalins that are really bathing your brain, and you're trying to figure out, okay, how do I get back to that? And people become addicted to that. And, you know, there's the, quote, the need for speed, and there's the need for danger, and there's the need for all of those things. But if you do it in a controlled fashion, like I do high-speed racing with at least one of my cars. And, you know, I've driven a car at over 160 miles an hour. And it's like, okay, why would you do that? Because it forces you to be 100% present of everything that's going on in your immediate vicinity. And there's not a lot of things in life that allow that luxury.
You got to be absolutely focused.
Right. And so I enjoy that. And that is where I feel most alive. Jump out of a plane with a parachute. That's exhilarating.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But do it in a way that you're not putting your life in danger, okay? You're going to sign a waiver that says, yes, you could possibly die, but, you know, do it with somebody in a tandem jump to where, the guy that you're attached to or the gal that you're attached to is got good spirits and loves what they do and loves to give people that level of thrill. And it's like, you know, people who do mountain climbing, people who do a motorcycle, whatever the case is, but do it in a way that you're fully conscious and that you're not putting yourself in harm's way in such a way that you're going to lead to negative consequences.
Well, it's true that we do love speed when you're safe and there's nothing in your way. And, you know, to be able to take an approach towards health that would enable you to feel safer, to be able to have a sense of what needs to happen in your life and do it in a way that doesn't involve things that are harmful, where you're not sitting there running into trees on the road or running into rocks and things like that, which these prescription medications can lead you to, is something that could be very beneficial for people. So if somebody has a particular situation they want to deal with and they're looking at becoming proactive with their health, what's the best way to reach you?
Well, the best thing they should do is just have a conversation with me. And you can have a conversation with me by calling this little contraption called my cell phone. You don't ever even have to come in. I'm going to encourage you to come in because I want to answer a deeper level of what's going on with you, okay? But call me initially. Email me initially. Call me on my cell phone. The cell phone number, again, is area code 845-561-2225. Or email me at docrick@spineboy.com and ask your questions and start the process. Just simply start. Decide that you'd like better for yourself. Okay. Decide that you want to put some attention onto it. Okay. And move in that direction. And I will help you more than you could ever possibly imagine understand how to help yourself. Because that's what I live for. My passion is to empower people to create a better world so that my life is actually better.
Thank you for doing all you do, and I really do appreciate being able to do this show with you each week.
Absolutely, Mark. I want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in. I'm going to ask you to tune back in next week, same health time, same health station. This is Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center saying I look forward to supporting you when your health matters.
What started out as a headache has become a pain in the butt. What was just an itchy finger now is a swollen foot. Doctor, I've been out of breath and I've never walked up a hill. Avoid all diet and exercise, I'd rather give you a pill. The thing is, there might be some side effects. You mean there probably will? Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, 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 on top of that. And then he showed me his bill. I popped another pill. I looked on the internet, checked out a medical site. It said you may not be depressive, but then again you might. If you're worried that you are, then take this simple test. Obviously you need a pill, you know how one is best. The thing is, there might be some side effects. Oh, I'd heard that before. I've been rushing back to the doctor. He said, are you looking for more? On top of that, on top.